everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to another podcast of the Down and Dirty. And as always, I am your host, Celeste Moore. Today, I'm so excited and honored to be able to speak to my guest, Sean Cook. But before we jump into today's episode, I would like to introduce Sean. Sean is a powerful men's coach, blending together the forces of the divine feminine and the sacred masculine to unleash his clients' unique magic, operating under the principle that each of us are experts on ourselves. He guides his clients into unlocking their inner genius so that they may have the life that is the fullest expression of themselves. Well, thanks again, Sean, for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I know maybe if you've done a few podcasts or whatnot, but I know a lot of that is kind of starting at the beginning for you. First off, what is your story and what were some of the life factors that drove you to coach men?
I mean, there's a lot. There's okay. A whole life there.
Yeah.
The very short and sweet of it is that throughout my 20s, I lived life the quote unquote right way. I got a good job. I worked hard. I had a couple of deep relationships, you know, always aiming towards marriage and kids, but something always seemed off. And looking back, I say I was very depressed. However, during that time, if you had asked me, I wouldn't have said that. I would have just said, oh yeah, I struggle. Life's hard. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I joined a men's group and actually got real with where I was at that I realized, hey, I can actually change this. I can actually take hold of this life that is mine, the internal, and I can change that, mm-hmm. that I began to change. And it is that knowledge of knowing how crappy I felt day to day. Day to day, I would wake up and be like, I don't want to be here. It would just be easier if I faded away and disappeared, then I wouldn't have to struggle all day, every day. And knowing that, and then knowing that I could change by doing a couple of simple things is ultimately what led me to coaching. What literally led me to coaching was I was leading a men's group and a couple of the guys asked me, hey, you're good at this. Can you do this one-on-one with me? And I said, sure, why not? And then off to the races.
Yeah, that's amazing. How long have you been coaching?
It's been about 2.5 years now.
Okay. That's, you know, it's so poignant in your life. There's times when you have this transformation for yourself. And obviously these guys were seeing this happen and they're like, oh, that looks attractive. I want that. Yeah. So I can imagine that's where that kind of happened. That's kind of great that it happened organically though, too. So what would you say like some of your fundamentals ideals are for coaching men?
I mean, as you said in the intro, like my kind of paradigm that I sit everything on is mm-hmm. that we are all the experts in ourselves, right? Like my clients come to me and they've known themselves for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. I've known them for maybe up to a year and they're with themselves 24/7. Mm-hmm. So I truly believe that each of us have the answers within ourselves. And it is my job and coaches' jobs to poke and prod and get us to the places that we don't want to look, because that's often where the answers lie. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my underlying paradigm of everything.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Just being a coach myself, it's asking those uncomfortable questions. It's being able to see things that we can see things and showing them, no, this is really what's happening. This is really what's going on, or this is what I'm seeing. So it's really giving him that objective, you know, look at what's going on with them. I really love that though. I like that you're able to redirect that back to the person because it ultimately gives them their own responsibility, right? Their own claim to their life, as you'd said.
Exactly. And I mean, like it's you know, you hear it a lot with people who are going through addiction, right? That oh, you can't someone help someone unless they want to help themselves. And it's true with everything, right? It's like, unless you actually want to make a change in your life and you're willing to actually make that change, nothing's going to change. It's your life. You're the one responsible for it, as you said.
Right. And,
you know, people can throw all the goodwill and all the advice and all the uncomfortable questions even at you. Nothing's going to change unless you make the choice.
Very true. Very true. And I know we have what a lot of people say, our own blueprint, right? Our own kind of sketch of what our life has looked, but we can redesign that. And I love that you give that space for them to be able to say, this is okay. So live your, you know, effing life, live the best life. So I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a question. What would you say does quotations doing the work in a relationship actually mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think doing the work is a term that gets thrown around a lot these days, especially in the coaching space and personal development and all of that. Mm-hmm. And getting coaching or showing up to men's groups or going to retreats, all of these feel like the work, but that's not actually the work. That's what allows you to do the work, or even reading the books or showing up with your partner and having relationship check-ins, all of these things, they feel like the work, but they're like the doorway. The work is actually letting all of those things in. The work is saying, oh yeah, I was a bit of an asshole there. I'm going to change. The work is actually changing day to day, minute to minute, making those choices that are different than we have habituated ourselves or been habituated to making. Mm-hmm. Making different choices is hard. That's why it's work. Going to a retreat, even if it's uncomfortable and it sure it might cost you some money, that's a pretty easy thing to do. That's the thing that opens the door to the work.
Mm. So you're providing the tools for them to get from point A to point B, as you know, I guess if that's what you would say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, it goes back to taking that personal responsibility, right? You can go to the most powerful seminar. You can have one-on-ones with Tony Robbins or Joe Dispenza or whoever you idolize. And sure, they might be powerful. They might show you some things that you never thought you'd see about yourself, but nothing's going to happen unless you are willing to make those changes. And in relationship, that's the very same thing, right? Mm-hmm. When you're talking with your partner and you're getting in deep and you're like, oh my God, I've hurt you in these ways. I'm really sorry. And I'm going to put my hand up and say, you know, I am not perfect at this by any means. I have to fail and try again. But that's doing the work. It's like, okay, yes, I've hurt you. I'm going to apologize and I'm going to change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's powerful too, because I think, well, personally, I've been in relationships where I'm like, oh, if I could just change this little part of that guy, you know, this is perfect. And, you know, as I've gotten older, of course, I know that that's, you can never change anybody, but it's so powerful when you know that you are like the creator, you can change. You're the one that can make your life shitty, great, you know, however you want to design it. And you, like I said, it's just, I didn't have the tools when I was young, right? So I was just like, every girl thinks it can change a guy. I don't know. It's just sick. I don't know where we get it from, but it's like this nurturing, mentoring thing that we want to do. And then we realize, oh, nope.
Yeah.
Doesn't
and
work.
I don't even think that's unique to women. Like, I think guys do it in maybe different ways of like, oh, like, yeah, if I just provide enough, then she'll be like this.
That's a good point.
Right? If I just go out and work harder, then of course she'll have to X, Y, and Z for me or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the trap that we all get stuck in until we're enlightened. If we get enlightened, is like, we're always going to be like, oh, but if they, and sure, like you're close. And that's just also falling into a bit of that victim mindset and all of that, which we can dive into later if you like, but.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, on that note, I have to ask, you know, what does it mean to, you know, be committed to yourself? Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, our relationships, right? I know that being committed to yourself is, what does that mean? Creating boundaries, sticking to them?
Yes. And there's much more to that. And okay. Like this also, like this ties in directly with doing the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference between being committed to something or someone, and that someone could be your partner or yourself, or your boundaries or your values, and being interested. And this is the distinction, right? Is that so many of us think we're committed because we say the word, but what is actually true is we're interested. We like saying the words because those words that say, I'm going to be a better man or a better woman, and I'm going to, even simply like, I'm going to take the trash out every week before I get smelly. The only way you can tell that you're committed to something is looking backwards, right? So many people say, show me your bank account, I'll show you what your values are. That's because that's the actions that you have taken are what show you that what you're committed to, right? I know that I'm committed to stretching and exercising every day because when I look back and meditating, I've done it every day. Otherwise, I'm just interested. I'm just interested in telling myself nice words that make me feel better about myself that ultimately down the line make me feel worse about myself because I haven't actually been doing the things that I said I'm going to be doing. So that is being committed to yourself, is making it happen. And right, you can say the no excuses and all of that as well. And I'm going to take a little bit of a tangent here as well, because there's like one of the things that I teach guys a lot is about honoring their word.
That's so huge.
And this is huge in relationship, right?
Yes.
This is huge with ourselves. And in this committed and interested vein, sometimes life happens, right? If there's a fire in my building and I wake up and I can't get my morning routine in because I have to leave the building or bad things are going to happen, I can renegotiate with myself or with another. Hey, this thing happened. And so I cannot meet that commitment for today. However, tomorrow, the next day, whenever it is realistic, I will be back on the train. Right? So honoring your word is not just no excuses all the time, do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that most modern people need more of that in their lives because we're very soft on ourselves. Oh, well, it was raining, so I didn't want to go for a run. It's like, well, if you want to run, then run, rain or shine.
Mm-hmm.
But honoring your word and your commitment also means honoring that life happens and renegotiating when you see there is a problem, not when that time comes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I think Don Miguel Ruiz, he basically was like, the word is all we have.
Yep.
You know, that holds value for yourself. And when you are committed to yourself, right, you respect yourself. And that's when, in turn, you'll respect others, whatever relationship it is. But yeah, when I read his books, I was just like, Four Agreements just sticks in my head because
I think it's the first of the Four Agreements is keep your word.
Yeah, it is. And it's just every agreement is just like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. No wonder if we would just get out of our heads and like do these things, it's so much more simple. But we have been programmed for so long to make stories in our head, you know, and da 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 da.
And not only that, we've also been programmed that an agreement is there's a handshake involved, or there's paperwork and we sign it, or something like that. No, like ultimately, our agreements are what we say we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I will once again be straight up. Like, this is one of my life challenges that I've been struggling with, and I continue to struggle with. It's like, if I say I'm going to do something, no, that's an agreement. I got to go do that. And then of course I'd be like, oh, but I forgot. It's like, well, sort yourself out, write it down and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. And like you said, it's, I think it starts with, I mean, obviously it starts with yourself, but it's like setting those goals so that you can be better and that you can respect yourself. Like whether it's meditating and working out, I mean, you need to do, I think there's like a multiple of group things. That's, you know, mindfulness and exercise and, you know, just being like conscientious too about, like you said, keeping your word. And that can be,
I mean,
with the, so many people,
the only person that we can't lie to is ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? We know when we've broken our word, and we know when we've been basically soft on ourselves. Well, it was raining. It's like, no, you can actually go do that. And every time we break that word to ourselves or another, even if we lie to them and they don't know that we broke our word to them or didn't have a good excuse, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
And every time we do that, we break trust with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we break trust with ourselves, we lose respect for ourselves, and all of a sudden we lose our self-worth. And next thing you know, you're just a grunt. And you're mm-hmm. like, well, I deserve to be in the mud shoveling dirt because I don't trust myself. I don't respect myself. I don't value myself.
That
all starts from agreements. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's huge. I can't imagine. I know that you've said, or I think maybe I read a testimonial on your website of a guy that was, you know, living life, had thought he had a great job, or probably did, had a great family, but he was just like a miserable person. And it's like coming to that conclusion of like, that was up to him. And yeah, the differences once he started doing these new implementations of these new tools, just like took him to a whole new level.
Yeah. I mean, for him, it was like, he was always the grass is greener on the other side kind of guy. Cause he had a good job. He had a good relationship that ended pretty quickly after we started working with each other, but he was never following through on his word. He was always living, oh, but what if I do that thing? And what if I do that thing? And what if I, and never committing to himself or a thing, which is one of the reasons why his partner split with him.
Mm.
And once he started, like what we did was we actually went, okay, you want to try that thing? Like, keep your job. Don't quit your job. Let's go try that thing in a microcosm. And so he could figure out, oh, well, maybe I don't like that. No, well, maybe I don't like that. And then, you know, of course it was something I could see pretty early, but took him all of these different tests of like, oh, wait a second. I actually like my job. I just need to show up differently to it. I just need to bring a different mindset to it. I just need to trust myself that even in the bad days at the work, because he was a teacher and of course kids are unpredictable. Even in the bad days, I can trust myself that I got myself.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing this process, he actually ended up back with his partner and they're now married with kids, which is amazing.
Wow. That's huge. Yeah. Well, I guess it was his person after all.
Absolutely was. Yeah.
That's
there was
pretty...
all sorts of letting go that had to happen. And yeah, it was a beautiful process.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing. I love those stories because you don't hear too many of them getting back together and it's a huge success. So I love
it. They just bought a house together too, which is, they're doing it.
Nice. So awesome. Okay. I have a question. So something that you said, and I'm sure you'll elaborate. What does it mean to be in solitude? Or let's see, what does being in solitude mean? That's it. And why is it so important these days?
Yeah. So I've, this is one of the things that I get all of my clients to do is be in solitude. Mm-hmm. And we are a culture of doing. Doing, 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 always doing. Even meditation, right, is a practice of being quiet, being with yourself, but it's a doing, right? Am I meditating right? Am I saying my mantra right? Oh my God, I forgot my mantra, or oh my God, come back to the breath, or whatever it is you're focusing on, or whatever, right? It's a doing. And we're like, when we're in the doing, our judger is active, our inner critic being like, oh, you're not doing it right, all of these things. Whereas just being in solitude, you know, putting your phone away, like I tell guys, it is another doing, I will admit that, but going for walks without your cell phone, bring your keys, and that's pretty much it. Don't even bring your wallet, so you're not tempted to go into the coffee shop and distract, oh, I'll just get a coffee and talk to the person. No. Just go out and be with yourself. And like, solitude is just fully being with yourself and like letting yourself fully unwind, right? Like, our thoughts are so busy in everything. And like, when we can just be with ourselves, and it takes a week or two of doing this regularly before there's just this inner peace that comes, mm-hmm. that is of a different quality than that you get out of meditation, right? Meditation gets you focus, gets you a little bit of equanimity, right? Being able to just roll with the punches. Whereas this inner silence is like, I know who I am because I've let my mind chatter. I've heard it. It's spoken all of the things and it's going to continue speaking. But I know that there's something behind there. Mm-hmm. I know that I am there even beyond my thoughts. So especially for men, but I would say anyone in our culture, we need solitude. We mm-hmm. need to just do nothing, right? Even when probably you and I were both kids before cell phones, right? At the bus stop, you'd be sitting there twiddling your thumbs in solitude, or you had to walk to the corner store. You didn't have, well, maybe you had a Walkman, but walk in silence. You get to be with yourself. These days, like, people are walking down the street and like on their phones while they're walking down the street and walking into telephone poles and shit.
This is true. It's, man, New York City is like, woof, whole nother level of chatter.
Oh, I'm sure.
So is this like just a self-discovery process, or is it something that you let them know, like practice this for once a week after you're understanding who you are, or what do you recommend on that?
Yeah. So there's actually kind of a couple of different levels that I bring guys through here. Yeah. First of all, I tell guys like just 20 minutes a day, just turn everything off every day. And if that, and like, I get it. We live busy lives, but you have 20 minutes to go for a walk, or at the very least on your commute, just turn everything off. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to the radio. Don't listen to a podcast. Don't surf the web while you're on your drive, which I know is not safe, but so many people do. Jeez. Just be in silence. But then I also encourage guys, like, also once a week, go for a longer walk, mm-hmm. an hour, and don't have any destination. Mm. Just walk. And once guys have been doing it for a while, I also encourage them to like set the intention to just open their heart and open themselves to their own guidance.
I like that.
Go wherever that guides you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, literally, was it yesterday or the day before? Like, I ended up going out the back door here, walking up the street, and I like walked around this intersection several times before I was like, okay, we're going that way. Because my guidance was like, no, it was unsure. It's like, I want to go this way. Okay, I want to go this way. Just follow it, mm-hmm. and just see what happens. And the beauty of this is like, I hadn't done that practice in a couple of weeks, but the beauty is the more you do it, the more sure that becomes. And then you can take that self-guidance and you can actually direct it. And it's interesting doing it on doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But maybe I'll stop there. There's a couple more levels that you can get
into. That's okay. And yeah, no, I love it.
Beyond that, it starts getting theoretical unless you've experienced it.
Well, I'm sure it's been many, many people that have said this before, but Mel Robbins, she really says getting into nature really like centers you, just really. And that's like leaving everything, but walking through. And you live in such a beautiful, you know, area of the country here. You know, it's just gorgeous. So you can, it's probably outdoor stuff everywhere, but I'm sure there's a space in no matter where you live that you can go and well, really just like be in nature.
I had this question from a client just last week. She's like, I live in a busy city. There's not much nature around. Great. Sit with a house plant. Just sit with nature. See what it has to teach you. Even if it's a house plant, that is nature, right? We think that it has to be a big forest and all of that. And of course that there is greater benefit to that. But like, if you are growing weeds, you have a little aloe vera plant, sit with that. Put on a timer for 20 minutes or 30 minutes and just sit with it. Be with it. Notice what happens. You'll be surprised.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of parks in busy cities. I thrived in all the parks in New York. They were amazing. But it just like you get you out of that whole hubbub of the city and whatever and just go sit at the park and literally just sit in the grass, look at the trees and just like forget. I mean, your mind just literally shuts down. So when you don't have a phone and you can just watch nature or I don't know, whatever it is, but it's interesting how it just literally can just drop everything that's going around. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I strongly encourage anybody who wants to get out into nature, whether it's a park or he's sitting with a plant or out into the forest, as I have the luxury of here, leave your phone at home. There's always going to be temptations to check it. Always, always, always. So just leave it at home. You don't need it. Life will survive for an hour or three, whatever you're away for.
I love it. I thought I would ask, when you know yourself deeply, does that lead to deeper connections, better sex, all around a better life? I imagine it would, but I'm going to let you elaborate.
Yeah. The short and sweet answer is absolutely.
Right? Yes.
One of the things that I work with a lot of people on is speaking what they want, speaking their desires, right? Like so often we get caught in thinking our desire, what we want is what we think the other person wants. And women especially are such great bullshit detectors, right? Whether or not you actually consciously pick it up, there's something inside you that says, something's off here. And I think that men have that too, but it's a little bit closer to the surface for you women. And so the deeper you know yourself, the more you can bring yourself and your desires forward. And that creates trust, right? If that little alarm bell isn't going off, like something's off here, he's not saying something, or like, I don't know. That creates trust. Even if what your desire is answered with a no, I'm not into that, that creates trust. And like the deeper you can do that, the deeper your relationship goes and the better your sex gets and all of that. And not only that, I'm going to go a little one more layer deeper here. When we are tapped into what we want, desires, then our listening isn't listening for what do I think they want and I'll give it to them, right? Our listening is filled, like our emotional, physical listening is filled with what do I think they want when I don't know what I want. But all of a sudden, when I can settle into what I want, then I can listen to what my partner is telling me, whether that's physically or verbally or emotionally. When I'm centered in myself and I know myself, I can actually listen to my partner. And then if I hear something and it's like, oh, that's interesting, I can give that to you. Sure. Or, oh, that's interesting. No, that's not me.
Yeah.
But as I said, that also builds trust.
Well, I mean, that really resonated with me because personally, I've been a people pleaser my whole life for whatever reasons why. And there was a moment last year where I decided to do something for myself, no matter, like, forget about my daughter's needs, my dogs, everybody else in my life, I shut everything off and made a decision. And it was the best time of my life. My spirit grew, my creativity came out again. Like, it was just this, it was such a, like, why don't I do this all the time? And I made a promise to myself that from that point on, I'm going to what I call have these boundaries because I'm going to be doing things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's just crazy.
I'd love to leave a little thought experiment here with you and your listeners. I would love people to imagine if you took care of you 100%. If you took care of you so well that you were fully fulfilled, name one part in your life that would not get better.
Mm-mm.
Would you show up better at your job? Would you show up better for your partner, for your kids, for your dog, for your clients, for yourself even, right?
Yeah.
When we take care of ourselves, I truly believe we have one job in our life, and that is take care of ourselves. Because literally, when we take care of ourselves, everything else gets better. You are a more effective human being in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's literally no one's going to take care of ourselves, like only us, like the, you know, not our parents anymore, not our whatever, but they didn't understand 100% what we want and need and desire. Only we do. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, like, you know, life still happens. Life gets in the way. Kids are not exactly patient. Like they are going to demand things of you. You need to be at your job for however many hours or show up, whatever. Sure. Do those things and take care of yourself as best you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And hope everybody will really thoughtfully really think about that and sit with yourself with that, because which kind of goes into my next thought process. It's like, you know, living a life of authenticity can be scary because maybe you never have before, but it's perhaps the most, like I said, liberating thing that you can possibly do, or living the life that you want. And that's just like what I shared with you guys earlier. But you know, I think everything that you teach really kind of helps them live authentically. Is that kind of true for you?
Yeah, 100%. And like, this is another thing that perfection can get in the way of. Is like, that's a carrot we're always going to be chasing. There's always going to be, quote unquote, more authenticity. And so the game is to just moment to moment, do the work, show up. Right? That work is like, oh, I actually don't want to go out tonight, but I'm going to disappoint all those 20 people who I said I'd go out with. But authentically, no, I want to curl up in front of the fire and read my book, make a couple phone calls, make it happen. That's taking care of yourself, right? Or of course, the old fashioned, like speaking up for yourself in a room full of people. That's really challenging too. That is work.
Yes. Yeah, but I think once you, you know, make that decision, like ultimately that's what's best for you. And this is like, I'm 46 years old. Like, who would have thought like it would take me this long to be like, okay, Celeste, enough of people pleasing already. Like, why are you doing this? So, you know, it can happen at any age, people.
100%. I mean, like I know several men who are in their 70s and have been doing this kind of work for 40 years. They keep saying like, you know what? The work goes on. Like, we still have our same challenges, our same demons, our same whatever you want to call them. Just the more of this kind of work we do, the more practiced we get at being ourselves authentically, the more space we make between them. We can see them coming down the road. We're like, oh, there's self-doubt coming. I see you. And here's my self-doubt toolkit so I can deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. So you have a course that is called Awaken the King Within.
I do.
Which I think is such a cool name, by the way. And probably resonates with a lot of men, right? What principles do you teach in this program? Or what is it kind of designed? What does it look like? Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So I don't believe that this is necessarily a guy and a gal thing. Okay. I think that we all have a sovereign within us, right? For men, it's the king. For women, it's the queen. And our job in taking care of ourselves is to shepherd this sovereign into the world, is to bring that energy forth and let it flow through us, right? In taking care of ourselves, what we do is that we take back the bricks that we have put on the wall that is in front of the king. I think that every time as we were growing up, you know, you see little kids, I'm the king. And like, they are the king. They are the queen. Mm-hmm. And then throughout life, you're not enough. Brick. I screwed up. Brick. You're too much. Brick. We build this wall in front of that king. And society helps us and our parents help us, even though they have our best interests at heart. Brick, 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 brick. Mm-hmm. So the course is designed to take men through embodying the different masculine archetypes so that we can take those bricks down brick by brick, brick by brick, so that we can step forth, awaken the king within.
Mm, that's really nice.
And be that king in the world and create our kingdom.
Yeah. Show up as a king.
Show up as a king for ourselves, for our partners, for our kids, for the kids who will follow.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you talk about, I didn't know there's different four archetypes of masculinity. I did take a course years ago. This is before I was doing what I'm doing now, of feminine and masculine energies and the dance and, you know, all the, it was so amazing. It was like a weekend, but I didn't know about the four archetypes. What are they?
Yeah. I mean, like there are many different archetypes. There's many different archetype systems, I'll say.
Okay.
But basically what I follow, it was written about in a book called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. And those are the archetypes that I follow. I've also added on the father as well. Mm. So there are five, and like the warrior is the one, you know, he's the discipline. He's the go get it. He's the action. He's the one who also knows when to fight and when to not.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Like just as an example, way back in the day now, I was working in Mexico. And they have a culture of just fighting to see how tough you are there. I grew up fighting a lot and getting beaten up a lot. So I didn't want to. But at that time, I was at the height of my martial arts training. I was a very skilled fighter. I was strong. I was fit. And eventually this guy cornered me. And there was no one else around. And he said, we're going to fight. And he was pushing me and like lifting my hands up. And we're going to fight. And then we ended up like literally nose to nose. And I could feel like electricity in my body. My body was vibrating. Mm-hmm. So I kept telling him, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. And we ended up nose to nose for probably 2 or 3 minutes, which is eons.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And I knew in my body, like, I've got this. If he makes a wrong move, I'm going to drop him. But I didn't want to fight. And eventually he, like, I've never seen a person look like he has his tail between his legs more. He just turned around and walked away.
Wow.
And that, I feel like I'm puffing myself up here a bit. I don't usually do this, but like that is the warrior, right? the knowing I've got this. If shit goes down, I've got it. Mm-hmm. I will be on the battlefield, but I don't need to. Mm. And until I need to, I'm just going to sit in that knowing.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
That's the warrior.
Okay.
And like each of these archetypes in this way of looking things have kind of an underexpressed and an overexpressed, right? The overexpressed is a bully. The underexpressed is a coward. Mm-hmm. The magician he's the businessman. The magician is the one who knows things, of course, right? And often who knows things that is beyond just the basics, right? There's some sort of a threshold that he has crossed, right? He went through business school and now he is running this company or whatever. Mm-hmm. He knows some things that the general populace doesn't know. And there are some gates along the way.
Mm-hmm.
He is initiated. And the overexpressed is the like ivory tower guy. Oh, I'm so smart and you will never understand a damn thing. And the underexpressed is the dummy, the guy who actually knows things, but is like, well, no, no, just like put me in the trenches. I'll be good.
Yeah.
And then the lover is, you know, everybody thinks that when they hear the lover, it's like, wow, that's sex, that's relationship, which of course it is. But the lover is also the child, the one who loves life, the one who goes out and plays, the one who expresses, the one who feels deeply.
Mm.
And of course, there's the overexpressed is like the addicted lover, the one going out for one night stands every night of the week. And the underexpressed is just like, I'm going to be a monk. Don't do anything. I'm gray. I'm dull. Right. It's like, I picture it as like your 60-year-old British guy who's been working all of his life and just like lives his life and goes about things.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the king, and the king requires the full expression of the other three to be able to step into himself. Right. A king is not a king unless he knows his power, unless he knows wisdom, unless he has wisdom and can make judgments. King is not a king unless he can care for people. And so the king needs all of these in order for him to step in. Of course, we have the dictator and then just the eye view. If you think of Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. when there's that king who has Saruman's little munchkin in his ear, right? The king who is actually a puppet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the underexpressed king. And then the father is also the one who cares for the world, himself, his loved ones, the environment, all of that. So that's a little bit longer of a rundown than I think you were looking for, but that's all of them.
That's great. No, I thank you for explaining that. Makes me like, obviously, like I said, I didn't know what those were, and that was a great explanation. So when you say who is your program for, do you have that type of person?
Yeah, it's for men.
Yes.
And it is for those men that have done everything, quote unquote, right in their life.
Okay.
Who have the job, who have the career, the house, the maybe kids, maybe wife, and life sucks. And why is this such a struggle? And I can see that there's a better life out there. And I know I'm also making a bunch of crappy decisions, but I don't know how to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But they still know there's that better life and they know that they're capable of more.
Got it.
This program is for those men. And this program takes them through the archetypes to allow them to step in and be that clear, confident leader in both their life, their relationship, their career, and like live the life that they choose to live rather than just the life that society tells them is the right life to live.
Yeah.
So that's who this program's for.
That's awesome. I love it. I love this program. I really do. I know that there's so many like, you know, men's boot camps or like you said, these programs, and they're all kind of geared towards different things. But this is great. I don't think I've heard one like this yet. So this is
Thank you.
That's really cool. I'm glad that you're offering that to these men out there. I know this is like probably not the right question, but I was thinking about your program and I was like, you know, based on your clients, do you, and they become kings, right? And they're stepping into their life as they want. Do you find, or maybe you don't even know this, but are they staying in the current relationships that they're in, or are they leaving, or is this something that's, you know, very like, you know, it's a custom kind of thing? Because I think that, like you said, some of them have everything going for them, but clearly not.
Exactly. And I just want to say something before I even get to that. Like,
yeah,
they don't become kings. They already are kings.
Okay.
He just needs to be awakened. Uh-huh. He just needs to step into that. Okay. Right? We all are kings or queens. However, we just need to bring that forth and live that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, relationships. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Some guys stay, some guys go. And either way, what happens is a transformation. Either way, what happens is they get closer to who they are by making the hard choice. And sometimes that hard choice is staying, sometimes that hard choice is going.
I like that though, too, because even if they're going, they're able to go into a new relationship being who they're supposed to be.
Exactly. So. And like some relationships are deep and loving and incredible and only meant for a season.
True. Right?
Like I split up with my partner of 6.5 years last year. And what brought it actually about was a proposal. Like I was ready to commit. And so was she. And we talked about it and all of that, right? This wasn't a surprise. We talked about kids, all the things. It's a story for another day. But it became really clear that that relationship had also run its course. And we have a beautiful friendship now. But we were not meant to be husband and wife, parents together.
Yeah.
And that was not an easy choice.
Yeah, that's especially 6.5 years. It's a big part of your young, you know, I don't know how old you are, but young to midlife. So,
yeah,
you know, I get it. 6.5 years for anybody is like, you know, you're nurturing something that you think is going to be your future. And yeah, that had to be a very difficult decision. But I'm sure, like you said, you're in the place where you know you want what you want, and you'll find that. So I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. Okay. I have a question for you. What was one of your, and it could be with anybody or anything.
Okay. Now you got me hooked. I'm ready.
You know, I asked this question and everybody kind of like gets stumped, but what was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
One of my favorite dates. Well, let me tell you first about one of the best nights of my life. Okay. That was a date with myself. And I'll tell you about a date with another person later.
Okay. Okay.
This is one of the blessings of the solitude that I spoke about. This happened, I think it was late December, maybe early January, somewhere in there. And I was regularly walking for 1 to 3 hours every night. And one of these nights, I had opened myself up. Was just following the guidance as I spoke about earlier, and I was living in Mexico at the time, so I walked down to the beach. Almost the moment my feet hit the sand, it's like, this is different, and I just followed my joy, my bliss, my guidance. Sometimes I walked in circles, as I said, and it was about 3.5 hours of just walking. Literally, I just walked by myself, and I spent about half an hour. There was a traveling like amusement park in town. So I went and watched people on the rides and bumper cars and just loved people loving themselves and having fun. And literally all I did was walk for 3.5 hours, and my cheeks were sore by the end of it. I fully fell in love with myself. I fully knew the possibility that joy and creation and hope and love and all of the things are here, are within me, that I get to create them whenever I want. And of course, you know, I've gone up and down and forgotten it, and it's only been a couple of months and remembered it, but that date with myself was probably the best night of my life. I kid you not.
Well, it was connecting with yourself in a way that maybe you hadn't experienced before.
Yeah, 100%. And as far as a date with another, I would have to say, like, I'm an adventurer. And my partner and I, this one I just spoke about, we actually went, I think it was 5 or 6 days. So it was a long date. Drove up one of the, because I used to live in Northern Canada in Yukon. And so it's remote. Wow. One of the old highways. We drove up and we camped. And it was just spectacular. You know, we were there with our dogs and just spending all that time together, adventuring, being by rivers and creeks and up mountains. And we ended up staying 3 days in one place because it was late summer, and we literally watched the hill change color in front of us over the course of 3 days.
Wow.
And it was just spectacular. So that's what comes up for me.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think if you can see that once in your life, that's phenomenal. Well, thank you for sharing that. And then where can people find you, and those of you listening who want to take a look into his program, share that information here for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. Best place to find me is Instagram. I'm at Sean LD Cook, and that's S-H-A-U-N and Cook with an E.
Awesome.
And yeah, thanks for asking.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and your services, and I think you're a beautiful human, and thanks for being on today's show. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our time.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode, because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.